All right, we're talking on the subject of the reality of redemption. Now, follow me through. I'm reading from verse 13 of chapter 3 of Galatians. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit." How? Through faith. All right, now, we're talking on the reality of redemption, and when we say reality, we're talking about something that's real, something that we can actually participate in physically through an experience. We had been redeemed legally. Christ came and paid the price for us that we were redeemed legally. Now, what do I mean by redeemed? That's right, bought back. Okay, I didn't mean for you to answer that, but that's good. Praise the Lord. We got some preachers in the audience here. What happened was, is we were in bondage. Now, you can be in bondage and don't know it. And that's probably the worst kind of bondage, because when somebody tries to get you out, you start fighting them. But we were in bondage because Adam sold us into bondage through his sin, he and Eve. And as a result of that, we had to be redeemed. We had to be brought out and bought back. He sold us in, we had to be bought back. So there had to be a price to pay. The Bible says that we were bought with a price. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. We were bought with a price. Then it tells us what price there was that bought us. And it says that we were redeemed by his blood, that he gave his life as a ransom for us. So we were actually in bondage, didn't know it, but we were. And then he came and we start hearing the truth. And the Bible says you'll know the truth, and what'll the truth do? It'll make you free. So then we decided that we wanted to come out of bondage. We decided that we wanted to get born again. And so we confess Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe in our heart. God raised him from the dead, and the Bible says you shall be saved. So we confess new leadership. We confess no longer having the enemy as our leader, or the world's ways, or the pressures of this system, or whatever guiding us. Now we want to be guided by Christ, and his kingdom would be our reality. Now, as that happened, the strategy of the enemy is, if he couldn't keep you from getting saved, to make you ignorant of your rights and keep you in fear and unbelief about moving out in the new freedom that you possess. That's a mouthful right there. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Now, he doesn't mind if you believe in God as long as you don't believe God. And there is a difference, folks. Okay? The Bible said the devil believes in God. All right, now. So now, Christ has redeemed us. So we've been redeemed, and the Bible says that it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, because of Adam's sin, the curse came into the earth. It was loose in this earth. I mean, right now, folks, you can go different places and there's viruses floating in the air. Folks, that's the curse. It's loose in the earth. But he redeemed us from it. Meaning that it's raining outside, but us has an umbrella. Now, I know that's not perfect English, but I'm telling you that because I want you to put us in there. See, I have been redeemed. Say, I have been redeemed. Even though it's raining outside and all kinds of things are going on, I'm protected. Got it? So I've got an umbrella. Now, it says the curse. The curse is threefold: poverty, sickness, come on, and death. Now, we're going to talk about all three of those, but today we're finishing up redeemed from poverty. Okay? Poverty is a curse. Boy, you got to say this. Poverty is a curse. Put your hand right there, right there. Put something right there. And let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. One more time, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. That's one couple of doors back. All right, look what it says in 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for whose sake? My sake, he became what? Poor, that you through his poverty, come on, might be rich. Might be rich. Now, we know that that poverty has to do with him coming down in the earth, because how is heaven? Heaven has streets of what? Gold. Has gates of what? Pearls. Come on now, I mean, heaven is a magnificent place. The foundations are gold or diamonds and emeralds, all of that. And heaven, the Bible says it's four square. It's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. And it says that all the streets are gold. So if I just take streets and go around heaven, one street that goes around the borders of heaven, I'm there, I've got 6,000 miles of gold. Come on now. I'm telling you where God came from. Where Jesus came, I'm saying this is where heaven, this is where you're going to be living in this kind of reality. Now that doesn't sound like poverty to me. You remember that story I told you about that man, he was dying and he was going to go to heaven, and the angel told him, said, you can go, but you can't take that. He said, well, wait a minute, I got to take this. This is what I work for. He said, no, what is that anyway? He said, well, that's some gold in there. He said, you can't take that up there. He said, they don't want you up there. You can't bring anything in heaven. You got to go through those gates with nothing but you. He said, no, well, I'm not going then if I can't take my sack with me. He said, okay, listen, go ahead and take it. So he got to heaven and got up there before the gates, and here's the big angel standing at the gates. Angel said, come on. Whoop, what do you got there? He said, oh, I got a sack. He said, well, what's in it? He said, no, it's something that he told me I could take. He said, I can bring it here. He said, no, you can't bring anything in here. He said, they told me I can bring this here now. I need to come in, and this, I'm not going to leave this out here. He said, listen, you don't need to bring anything in here. They got everything in here for you. Come, no, I'm not coming in there if I can't bring my sack. He said, well, what's in the sack? He said, it's something I work for. He said, well, let me see what's in there. He said, all right. And he opened the sack, and the angel looked over in there and said, what do you bring pavement up here for? You see, it's interesting how rich is relative. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, when he says rich, rich doesn't have a definition to it except abundant supply. See, it doesn't mean a thousand, a million. It means abundance. So now what I'm trying to tell you is Christ, who was rich, became poor, that you through his poverty might be made what? Rich. He became poor on the cross. He didn't walk in poverty. He couldn't have walked in poverty, because poverty is a curse. And Jesus was not cursed. He didn't walk in sickness, did he? That's a curse. He didn't have all of that, folks. Come on now. No such thing as poverty vow. Man thought of that. That is not in the Bible. And what I'm trying to get you to do is get everything out of you that's not in the Word of God. You got it? There's a better way to do it than take a poverty vow. God's got blessings on you, and I'm going to show you right now. Now, I'm just saying, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Bible. Because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says he became rich. You go back in Deuteronomy 28 and you'll see the curses, and you'll see poverty is under the curse. Now, God is not anywhere concerned about you being poor. How are you going to help God being poor? Say amen to that. All right. Now, I'm only telling you that because some of these things have been situations or doctrines that have been coming into church, and they have been wrong. I'm not talking against the people. I'm saying to the people, you remember what he said in Timothy? He said, in the last days, there'll be deception. It'll be people who are even deceived and teaching others deception. Why? They don't know they're deceived. The worst thing to be is in bondage and don't know it. I'm telling you, that's a bad place to be, because when you start correcting somebody, they'll fight you.
Well, I know what I'm talking about. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, then show it to me in the Bible. If you know what you're talking about, just give me chapter and verse for it, and I'll say amen. I won't argue with you anymore. That's all I ask people to do. But you know what? When people don't do that, and they cannot do that, and won't do that, won't show you chapter and verse, that is idolatry. That is self-worship. That's what that is. Now, I'm coming clean. I got this. I told you, you better go sit in the car if you don't want to hear the truth, because I'm going to tell you. I'm not owing anything to any denomination. This here, we're going to talk Bible in here. Say amen to that. All right. So, let's then look back at Galatians one more time. Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, praise God, hallelujah. All right, now, so what did Jesus do? Jesus came and redeemed us. Now, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the who? Gentile, through who? Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit, how? Through faith. Now, what was, well, let's read the next verse. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying Paul is writing here and he says, though it be but a man's covenant, meaning that God made covenant with a man. Who was the man that God made covenant with?
Abraham.
If it be confirmed or ratified, no man can disannul it. Disannul it means that no man can make it void or make it abolish it. Why? Because it was made between God and who?
Abraham.
Where is Abraham now? He's with the Lord. So no man can change it. Because the only ones that can change it are the ones who made it. Got it? So the covenant of Abraham is enforced. Now, what I want you to see is go around here to verse 7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the who of Abraham? Children of Abraham. Are you of faith? Raise your hand if you are of faith. Now, if you're of faith, you are a child of who?
Abraham.
Look at verse 9. So then they which be of faith are what? Blessed with faithful Abraham. So the way that God blessed who?
Abraham.
He's going to bless who?
Me.
Me. Say me.
Me.
Don't say us anymore. Say me. Because that's the problem. We've been saying us and haven't been getting anything. Single yourself out. See yourself in the scriptures. He's going to bless me the same way he blessed Abraham. All right. Come on over to chapter 3 again. You're still at chapter 3. Look at verse 26. For all ye are the children of God by faith in who? Christ Jesus. How many of y'all got faith in Christ Jesus? How many of you are all the children of God? Okay. Verse 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, has what? Done what? Put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Keep going. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, if you belong to Christ, then are you whose seed?
Abraham's
seed. Keep going. And heirs according to the promise. So if you belong to Christ, then are you whose seed?
Abraham's
seed. So it's not just the people who are natural Jews that are Abraham's seed, but if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? And what? Heirs according to the promise. Now, what promise?
The promise God made Abraham. Well, what promise did God make Abraham? Turn to Romans chapter 4. Let's see what promise God made to Abraham, because that same promise is for me. Oh, hallelujah.
We're going to give the enemy a hickey side his head today. We're going to... Let me know when you're there. Romans chapter 4, please. Have you got it?
Yes.
Come on, have you got it?
Yes.
Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, glory to God, for the promise that he should be the what? Heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. What promise did God make Abraham? He was going to be the heir of the world. What does heir mean? He's going to inherit the what? World. He's going to inherit the world. Now notice, Adam sold the world over into the hands of Satan. Satan became the god of this world. But Jesus came to get it back. And he got it back legally. But now he's up there probating the will. And this is the last will and testament. You got what I'm saying? And now we got to get it back vitally, or in reality, or in experience. We got to get it back. The battle's already been won, folks. Satan is already a defeated foe. But you and I are here to enforce the defeat. We are here to let the devil know where he stands, and that's under our feet. Do your feet like that. What you're doing is you're telling the devil, if he's got a word for you, write it on the bottom of your shoe. Because this is where he is. He is under our feet. Now, come on back to Genesis chapter 4, chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. Say, free at last.
Free at last.
Free at last.
Free at last.
Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And I'm free indeed. See, the enemy's trick, like I said to the last service, the enemy's trick is to have you in a bird cage. And you're going from side to side in this little bird cage, see? But what he thinks, he comes up to you first and tries to deceive you. He just puts you in a bigger bird cage. You think you got a little freedom. No, no, no. We got to get you out the cage. Out the cage. All right, look, let's look what it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Are you there? Say, praise the Lord. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I'm going to show you. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. Now I'll bless them that bless you, I will curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All right, now watch what he says here. First he says what? Abraham, get out of your where? Country and from around, you know, all them unbelievers. All right. Into a land that I'm going to what? Show you. He had no brochure, no map. You know how we like a brochure. Okay. So notice, he's telling Abram to follow him. Now, what does he tell him to turn loose of? He's telling him to turn loose of this old economic system. Turn loose of that way you're doing things now, Abram, and follow me, because I'm going to show you something. Now, what is he planning on doing? Hooking him back up to the way that Adam operated before the fall. You got what I'm saying? Now, he's saying this, verse 2, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. Who's going to do that? God. I will bless you. Who's going to do that? God. I'm going to make your name great. Who's going to do that?
God.
And thou shalt be a what?
Blessing.
Bill Winston, when he first came here, did anybody know him?
No.
Did anybody care?
No.
Who blessed me?
God.
Who put me on television?
God.
Who made it so that you would come here?
God.
Now he wants me to be a
blessing.
Have I been a blessing to you?
Yes.
Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. Now, what am I saying? A covenant is two parts, your part and God's part. And your part is to come out of the system. Your part is to be a blessing. So never did he intend for me to just get all this or knowledge or money or whatever have you and just keep it to myself. He planned for me to have more than enough so that I could share it. Got it? And he's increasing me more and more. We just came back from Central America, and now next week after that, whatever, I got South Africa, and then they're trying to get me to Zimbabwe, and they're trying to get me because they're seeing the television broadcast over the world. Folks, I came here with $199.98. But I had the blessing of Abraham on my life. All right. So, God's part, our part. Both of those parts are going to be done. Now he's making a covenant with him. Now, verse 4, so Abram departed from the Lord as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Now, did he tell him to take Lot?
No.
We always trying to take somebody that God didn't tell us to take. Hey, man, you know how we like a little security. Okay. So look at verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. God showed Abram the land. Now watch this. He took it and took him to that land. And when Abram looked around in that land, what did he see? It was a famine. What does a famine mean? The thing is dead. It was dead. But God directed him to a dead place. Why? Because he's got the blessing on his life. Come on now. But what did he do? He rejected that and went on down where? To Egypt. Egypt looked much better. Okay? So now what happened was he went down there and he told Sarah, he said, then don't tell him you're my wife. You tell him you're my sister, because you tell him my wife, Pharaoh might want to kill me because you look pretty good, girl. Am I right about it? Now, the Bible says that Abraham, look here now. Let me show you something. I want to show you this. Verse 4. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was how old? 75 years old. All right? Now, how old was Sarah? Anybody remember? How what was the age difference between Abram and Sarah? He was 99 and she was what? 90. Got it? So she wasn't much younger. He was 75. She had to be 60-something. But he told her, don't tell them you're my wife. You tell them you're my sister because you're still looking good. Can't you see what I'm talking about? Come on now, somebody with me. You know Pharaoh don't want anything in his house. Pharaoh ain't letting anything up in there. That was a sidebar. All right, now let's keep going, because he went down there and Pharaoh finally discovered that that was his wife and so forth and so on. But God wouldn't let Pharaoh touch her because God was watching out for him. See, he didn't completely trust God, but God had made a promise to him. And even when you don't completely follow God accurately, God keeps his promise to you.
Isn't this wonderful? Say mercy. All right. Look at chapter 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was what? Very rich in cattle and silver and gold. Now he's starting to manifest the blessings now. Now, how do you know who made him rich? I can tell you how you know who made him rich. All you have to do is come over to Genesis chapter 14 and look over here where Abram went out and he got back Lot, who had been taken by the enemy, and Lot's household and Sodom and Gomorrah and all the kings and so forth. Lot got them all back. And then this man met Abram coming from the battle. And verse 18 of chapter 14, he said this, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine." What does that sound like to you? Communion. "And he was a priest of the Most High God, and he blessed Abram and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand.' And Abram gave him what? Tithes of all." Now we're going to deal with that in just a minute. "And the king of Sodom said to Abram, 'Give me the people and just take the goods for yourself.' Abram said to him, to the king of Sodom, 'I have lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth.'" What does that mean? I have lifted up my hand to the Lord. Anybody can help me out there? Okay. I have what? I've made a covenant with God. God's going to be my provider. God and I have made an oath together. I've lifted my hand to the Lord. Verse 23, "And I will not take from a thread even a shoelace, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, 'Come on, I made Abraham rich.'" Now, Jesus was rich and became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Abraham was being made rich. He was being blessed. Who was making him rich? God was making him rich. Now, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? As God has blessed Abram, he promised also to bless Bill Winston. See, folks, come on now. You ain't doing me right. My point is, glory to God. Let me go a little further. You got your shouting clothes on. All right. Okay. All right. Now, let's look at this. Abram, the one thing that the enemy wants is to keep you in the cage. Now, this is where he keeps you in the cage, or a person. He builds a picture of where he wants you to go. Every one of us operates in pictures. Every one of us. The only reason you have words is because words form pictures. When I describe something, you say, "Well, I don't quite understand what you say." And then I give a few more words and kind of give some definitions and so forth, and you say, "Oh, I see." "Oh, I what? See." "Oh, I see." "See? That's just words I spoke." But the words form pictures. And whatever picture you have is where you go. Whatever picture you have inside is where you go. That's why I told you and taught on the fact of death. And that when it talked in Psalm 90 about a person who has lived a life of 70, and if they be good, whatever it is, they'll live another score. It made people think that 80 years old is what God has promised you. And that is not true. I showed you in Psalm 90 to read the verse above it. It was saying that the children of Israel in the wilderness who were disobedient were limited to 80 years. You are not disobedient. You are not in the wilderness, and you are in the new covenant. That's when I showed you that you don't have to be sick to die. I just got a letter from somebody watching the television, and they were talking about their grandmother or whatever, and she called people in there, and then she said she called them all in there and said some words, and she just went on right in front of them. Gone. And she said, Pastor, she wasn't sick. You don't have to be sick. You can just give up the ghost. Are y'all still here? Am I preaching to myself here? We have misunderstood things. We thought we had to be sick to die. I showed you when Moses was 120 years old. His eyes were not dim, neither his natural forces abated. The man could outrun you. But God told him, go up there on the mountain and die. Why? Because his time was over. And Abram went on up there and died. He gave up the ghost. How about Jesus on the cross? Who killed him? No one. No one. They couldn't. He had to hang his head and what? He died. He gave up the ghost. No one killed him. Now, I'm only saying I'm coming after this because you got some wrong images about money. And you know what? You end up where you see. So if a person is broke all the time, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So all I have to do is look at your life. You go where you see. Blindfold yourself one time and then take a walk across this auditorium and see how long it takes you to get there. You know why? Because you can't see. When a vision is clear, there's always acceleration towards a known goal. When you can see it, and you don't see with your eyes, you see through them. You see through them, folks. You see with that mind. All that stuff comes in and it paints a picture on your mind, and that's what you see with. And you move. And whenever I slow down, things slow down for me, I know something's happening. The vision is getting foggy. Then I have to go back and refresh that vision again. Even the cathode ray tube in a television set, I don't think a television set ever beams a signal out. And somebody maybe in your profession can correct this, but it doesn't ever beam a signal out just as one beam. It is a series of refreshes on that screen. Am I right about it? It's a series of refreshes. They taught us that when I was in IBM and going to the technical part of the training. Cathode ray tube, it's a series. If you slow it all the way down, it's a series of electrons hitting that screen. But it's not one thing. It's a series of little things. And I'm just saying that we have to refresh our vision. That's a reason for meditation. You can sit up and just refresh getting in that new car. Oh, Lord. Praise God. Folks, when God first showed me this mall, it was too big. He told me what to meditate on. And you know what it did? It pulled a big vision in here. Then I could see it. And the mayor tell you, there are times that I came over there and they asked me, said, Reverend, do you think you're going to really do this? I mean, you know, they were trying to find out the future here. And I said, hey, if y'all just bear with me, just hold on. We're going to get it done. Didn't I say that? I said, we're going to get it done. And you know what? They held on and I got it done. Praise the Lord. Now, when you can see something other people can't see, they don't have the same, you know, the passion is not so forth because they can't see. But you've been called for that. That's what I was called for, see. But my job is to convince them that I can see something. Do y'all have that? So my job is to bring people in here and to change the inside.
And if I can change the inside, you go back to that neighborhood and change the whole hood. Joseph Center students, come in here, put a business inside of them. Put it in there. Force them to work out a business plan. I mean, they know it was rough trying to get that business plan done. But you know what that business plan is designed to do? Trying to make that thing come alive inside of them. Well, you make it come alive enough, they can't wait to get into it. I'm telling you, they're busy in the bed asleep counting money. I mean, you know what I mean? Now, you follow what I'm saying? All right, let's do something else. Now, here's what I want to do. The enemy painted a picture of Abraham having a few sheep, a little land, and dust all in his face. Now, I don't know about you, but I have seen pictures, and here he was supposed to take Isaac up to the mountain, and he was busy crying. Oh, Lord, don't make me do this. That is a lie. The Bible says that he could hardly wait to see how God was going to raise Isaac up. You know what? Because he had an image of being raised from the dead. Folks, you get the image first and then go. Don't try to go and then get the image. That's when it gets hard. Get the image first. And then go. So what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to do something different. I'm trying to let you know that there is an image that you can get of God blessing you like he blessed Abraham. And then for you to get into abundance will not be difficult. Your image is going to take you there. Is this making sense to you at all? Now, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither white nor black.
That's right. That's right.
Poverty and lack is not a function of color.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
It is a function of what you think.
That's right.
All right. Now, what is happening? In Genesis chapter 14, are you there? Look what he says here in verse 13. And there came one had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Ishcol, a brother of Anar. And these are confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, or he's talking about Lot now, his nephew, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 300 and how many? 18, and pursued them to where? Dan. How many servants did he have in his own house? Three. Where were they born? So that means they had a mother and a father, hopefully. So it tells me that Abram had a lot of people around him. Now, I'm saying this because this is how God's going to bless you. Now, it says, verse 23, I will not take from thee a thread, even a shoelace, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you say, I made Abram rich. God doesn't want anybody to make you rich but him. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Why? Because of a covenant relationship. I am in covenant with my wife. It's called a covenant of marriage. This Abraham had a covenant with God. One of the things that she did in her last name is she added my name on. Her name is Veronica Brown Winston. She took my last name. Now, that's a privilege. Amen. See, she said amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. Now, let me show you this, because I got to make this picture real to you, because to get there is not a struggle. Toiling came from the curse. I want to show you that it's your inheritance, that you are no longer working for a living. Job came from paycheck. Work came from God. And work is what we do to manifest potential. That as we work for God, then the potential of who we are begins to be exposed. A job is what I want for getting me a paycheck. Man, I need me a job. No, you don't. You need work. Because the job puts you in a cage. Oh, you got to see what I'm talking about. Because we move in a job, you move from paycheck to what? Paycheck. And people are living from paycheck, come on, to paycheck. That's why on the expressway on Monday morning, people look sad. Man, when you're going to work, you're so happy you don't know what to do. Praise God, I'm going to work. Because you're doing something that fulfills you inside. Come on now, come on. And it's the manifestation of the gift that God has placed in you. And a gift will bring you before great men. So now, let's look at this. Verse 4 of chapter 15. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad, talking about Abram now. And he said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, do you be able to number them? And he said to him, so shall thy seed be. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Say, believe. Believe means to lovingly trust. Believing means unqualified committal. Believing means to give yourself wholly up to. If I tell you that we're going to provide, we're going to hire you on Monday or something like that. No, I'm just kidding now. If I tell you we're going to hire you on Monday or something like that, you believe me. As a matter of fact, you go out and maybe get yourself a, you know, skirt or get yourself a hat, some blouse, some sock and so forth. Like, why? Because you're getting ready to go to work on Monday. Got it? You know why you did that? Because you believe me. You believe me. You wholly committed to it. And that's where you can tell when people believe. Now, Abram believed in the Lord. Now, let's keep going. Verse 7. And he said to him, I'm the Lord that brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you the land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby I should know that I shall inherit it? How are you going to tell me, how are you going to prove to me that I'm going to get this land? He said, take me a heifer. Of 3 years, no, that's a cow. Of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst, and laid each one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Let's come on down to verse 16, please. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Now, let's get it. Let's get to the thing. God is now ratifying a covenant with Abraham. And the way he's ratifying it is he's taking a substitute of a cow or some kind of a cattle or a bull, a goat or something, and he cuts them down the middle and puts the two ends on the side and the blood is all there. Now, what theologians say is when that burning lamp came, that was God. God came to the earth in the form of fire. And that when Abram awoke, he saw footprints in the blood. And the footprints formed a circle 8, which has to do with new beginning. And so now, here, he's showing, I'm going to cut a covenant with you and I'm going to ratify it on my side. Because the word covenant means in Hebrew to cut or where blood flows.
It's still the strongest covenant in the earth today, and they still make them in some tribes in the darkest parts of Africa. They will make a covenant, and when they do, they cut and make blood. Why? They mingle the blood. The mingled blood says, you and me just became one. So what it's saying, God is saying here, is that, hey, as for me, I'm you. I'm a part of you, and whatever you need, you can come to me. And if I have it, I must give it. But now God is going to get Abraham to cut his part of the covenant. Come on over here, please, to Genesis chapter 17, and look at verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee, what? Exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, he's always falling out, isn't he? As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Watch this. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but I'm going to change your name, because you and me are going to hook up. But thy name shall be what? Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy who? Seed after thee, that's me, and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee this, and thy seed after thee, the land where thou art a stranger, and the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, God said that. Let's look what God did. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what? Circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token or the covenant of the covenant between me and you. So what's going to be the sign of the covenant between God and Abram and his seed is going to be what? Circumcision. Now wait a minute. Hold on, women. Hold on. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Come on down to verse 14. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be what? Cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Now, what day did God say that this child had to be circumcised? Eighth day. Now, what did he say was going to be a sign or a token between he and these people that they were in covenant together? Come on. Circumcision. In Africa or in some of the Indian reservations or Indians, when the Indians were here in America, they would cut their wrist and they would mingle blood. And that sign, some of them would take gunpowder and put it on there, and that gunpowder will make that mark whelp up. Now, it would be healed, but it'd be a big scar. And so when they went places, people could see it. And it will tell people that they are in covenant with somebody. Say amen to that. So this is saying, I'm in covenant with Almighty God. So let's go to Luke chapter 2, please, real quick. Glory to God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Luke chapter, can I finish this thought that we're on right now? Luke chapter 2. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2. Glory to God. See, we ought to stop trying to finance the kingdom out of our own ability. We're in covenant with somebody. Look what it says in Luke chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. This is Jesus now, talking about Mary and Joseph taking Jesus into the temple. Look what it said in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called who? Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Go all the way over to Romans, please, in chapter 2. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. Let me know when you get there. Come on, say praise the Lord, somebody. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Uh-oh. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one where? Inwardly.
And circumcision is that of the where? Heart, in the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now come on over to Colossians, C-O-L, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I told you Satan's strategy is to keep you ignorant. Verse 8. Beware, glory to God, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision, come on, made without hands. Every one of us who got born into the kingdom got circumcised. But it's a circumcision not made with hands, as in the Old Testament. But we have a better covenant, and the circumcision is in the spirit, right on your spirit. So God knows that you belong to him, and you got a mark on you that the devil can see, because he can see in the spirit, and he sees that you belong to Christ. Now, in that, folks, we have ability. Anyone that was under that old law of circumcision, Israel, the nation of Israel, became a covenant people, and no one could defeat them. No one, even the biggest groups or armies, come against one little village of Israelites and could not defeat them. And the reason why they could not defeat them, because the Lord fought for them. And he's going to fight for you. Now, I said that you have the blessing on your life. I don't have time for it now because I got to wrap it up. But in that blessing, Abraham got blessed. As a matter of fact, if you go in Genesis 24, it tells how much he was blessed. He was blessed with silver, gold, cattle, men servants, maid servants, camels, donkeys. Well, you don't have camels and donkeys today. You have different things. Come on. You got cars, trucks, airplanes, so forth and so on. That's why I'm believing for an airline. Because I got the blessing on my life. Now, what you're saying, oh, Pastor Winston, see, stay where you are. You're a lot. I don't have no time for lots. I'm going to leave the lots back with the unbelief, because I've got something God wants to do through me, and I've got potential in me, and you got potential in you. You are a genius already. God is just trying to get you to walk in genius status. Not only that, God is tying us back to another economic system. He's tying us back to a system like he did Isaac. Isaac was up there in Gerar, and God said, don't go down to Egypt. In other words, don't try to do it the world's way, because this is not going to work. He said, I want you to stay here in this land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to be with you. And the reason why I'm going to be with you, because I promised it to your daddy. I promised it to Abraham. Abraham's my father also, by faith. And so God, when he directs me, I'm noticing he seems to be directing me into places that look like just nothing growing. We have hit Tuskegee, and I'm telling you, it looked like an abandoned town. I couldn't believe what had happened. I said, God, why did you send me here? He said, because you got the blessing on your life. Glory to God.
Now you watch what's going to happen to that place. See, I'm smart this time. Last time I didn't buy him no land, but I'm going to buy it up this time because I know what's coming. Praise the Lord. I remember when God told me there was a Brown's Chicken right across the street from our office on 7306 on Madison. I'm standing up at the window. I'm just standing there minding my own business. Some said, buy that Brown's Chicken. I think, Brown's Chicken? Because I'm thinking I got to run a chicken place. I dare you to go look and see what's there now. Luxury condominium apartments. If I'd have just bought the Brown's Chicken, I'd have been all right. See, God just said. God, economic system, he'll direct you. And he'll direct you where he knows people are going to come. And one man told me, all you got to do to get rich is find out where everybody's going and get there first. Now, I'm telling you something. Don't be trying to figure it out. Part of his system is to hear the Holy Spirit and be able to cooperate with him and watch God work this thing out for you. Did y'all get something out of this thing today?